Pastor Dave. Sunday morning. 13th of July, 2025. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to Luke chapter 7, verse 50.
We're going to think about that little passage in a moment, but why don't we just bow our heads and ask that God would speak to us? Gracious God, we thank you that we've been able to sing about you and to hear about you in your word, the Bible. And we pray as we think this morning, would you speak into our hearts that we might see the Lord Jesus? Amen. Well, we had, didn't we, that passage read. And I want you to imagine with me being at that meal. So we're not reading about something made up. This actually happened. I want you to imagine if you were there too. So we come into the house, and most of the guests are lying down at the meal. Okay, and we take our place, maybe near the center of the room. You see Simon over there. So just in those days, they would lie down to eat, and they would kind of have their heads in the middle so they could talk, and their feet by the edges. If I lay down to eat, it is very messy. So I'm glad that we don't do that anymore. So Simon is sat near someone that we suppose, well, that must be him. That must be the guest that he's invited. That must be this guy, Jesus. And we'd see him over there. And you think, well, we've heard about this guy. And we want to hear, everyone's talking about him. We want to hear what he's got to say. But we look a bit more and you think, well, it doesn't look like Simon likes him very much. Look, Jesus hasn't had his feet washed. He's still covered in dust from the road, or worse. Maybe Simon doesn't like him. He's not really welcomed him. But then as we're watching, oh my goodness, there's a movement by his feet. Oh, it's so embarrassing. There's a gate crasher at this party. That woman has sneaked her way in. She was not invited. And we've seen her before, obviously from a distance. We don't associate with people like her. She's got a bad reputation. We don't know the details, but what we've heard is not good. What's she doing? Oh my goodness, she's weeping by his feet. And what is she doing now? She's getting her hair down from being tied up, and she's washing his feet with her hair. That is not respectable. That is not decent. Imagine washing stinky feet with your hair. This guy is the guest. Does she think people are not going to notice? What is going on? Why is she doing this? Well, we read this report, didn't we? Straight from the pages of the Bible. From a gospel, an account of Jesus' life written by a doctor, a man called Luke, who gathered reports and evidence and put it down for us. So we read about the people at the party, this woman, and we don't know her name. A Pharisee called Simon, the host of the party, and Jesus. And now it's just a word about what a Pharisee is. Now, we don't use that word very much. The Pharisee is the religious expert of the day. The one who seems to know everything and to do everything properly. And if we would go out and ask at the time, hey, who are the good people? Who's the opposite of that woman with the bad reputation, the shady lady? Who is the opposite? They would have said, well, those guys, the Pharisees. I don't know what that looks like today, but they would have been dressed very smartly. They would have been respectable, maybe like you. And then there's the woman, the Pharisee, and then there's Jesus. And Jesus is at the very center of this story, isn't he? Who is he? And Simon and Simon's guests are really puzzled about, well, who is this Jesus guy? And we're going to see their confusion is going to help us understand. So let me read verse 39. When the Pharisee who'd invited him saw this, so saw what this woman was doing, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, He'd know who's touching him. What kind of woman she is. She's a sinner. And they are confused as to whether Jesus is a prophet or not. Because a prophet is someone who knows the mind of God. And you think, well, if Jesus was a prophet, if he knew stuff, why would he let this woman touch him? Why would he let this sinner touch him? That's not good. That doesn't look good. The prophet should be with the good people, right? But look at 48. Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins? Surely forgiving sins, that's what God does, isn't it? How can this man, Jesus, offer to forgive sins? Clearly he's hanging out too much with sinful people anyway. Who is Jesus?" And as we read this passage, and as we think about it, you'll see there's lots of talk about sin in it. We saw that, didn't we? And again, that is not a word that we talk about very often. And so we need to reflect what he's saying. That the Bible clearly teaches from start to finish that sin is the biggest problem that each one of us has. More significant than our health or our financial situation or our family anxieties. That sin is like the evil that we put to work in our hearts. Not just the bad stuff we do, though we do. I want you to imagine for a moment a video of your life, of everything that you've ever done. And it's a silent video, but there's a voiceover. And the voiceover is your inner thoughts. All those things that you've thought and said to yourself and about other people. Everything that you've said and done. Everything that you've thought. Imagine it projected for everyone to see and everyone to hear. Sin would be the bits where you say, "No, not that bit. Don't let them see that bit. Mute that bit. Don't let them know what I'm really like." And the Bible says sin is shameful and horrible and is a big problem. And Jesus says, "I am here to deal with that." And they're going, "Well, who are you to say you can do that?" And so we're here and we're thinking about the Christian faith. And just to be right up front, Christianity is all about Jesus Christ. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? That is why we're here. Christianity is all about Jesus, who he is, and what he came to do. It's not about going to church. It's not about being religious. It's not about doing good things or trying to make yourself a better person. It is all about Jesus. And we heard that, didn't we, when Grace shared her story. That the core of her life is not about doing good or keeping rules or going to church. It is about Jesus. And we're going to see, how do these people at this party understand Jesus? So think about this woman. Think about the extravagant, the extraordinary, the enormous love that she has for Jesus. That she will go into a room where people hate her. She will go into a room where they all look down upon her to wash his feet with her hair. Washed anyone's feet with your hair lately? She is ready to be humiliated in front of everybody because of how much she loves Jesus. And she does not care because she loves him so much. She is so thankful. She adores him because of what he's done. And we're going to think about why. But think about Simon. Simon is not excited about Jesus, is he? Just look at what Simon has not done for Jesus. Have you ever had someone come round to your house and you know they've got to come in, but you don't really like them? Never had, don't admit it if you have, by the way. That's Simon. So a few years ago, Becca and I went on a trip to Uganda, and culturally welcome in Uganda is quite different to the UK. And so we sat and they had quite a big lounge. And how it works is the most senior guests sit right in the front in the place of honor. And so we happened to be the invited guests. So we sat in the place of honor. And then there were kind of ranks of seats according to how important everyone else was. And so the kind of host was with us and then his family was closer. And then you gradually moved further and further away. And if you were not important at all, they were kind of out in the kitchen looking through the door at the party going on. And if Simon thought he could get away with it, Jesus would be out in the kitchen. Because Simon didn't welcome him. He didn't wash his feet. He didn't kiss him a greeting. He didn't put oil on his head. Jesus is not wanted. Simon doesn't love Jesus. And we see these two people, and we see their wildly different responses. The reluctant listener, I better get him round to hear what he's got to say. And the extravagant love for the Savior. Why is it different? Well, what we think of Jesus depends on how we see ourselves. That's how it works. What we think of Jesus depends on how we see ourselves. And Jesus tells this short story to explain it to Simon. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One of them owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? So just to get your head around it, 50 denarii is about 2 months' wages. Okay, don't know how much you get in your salary, your wages, everything that you get for 2 months. 500 denarii, that's about 1¾ years of wages. So you go to work every day for 1¾ of a year's, and that's 500 denarii. So in today's money, the second man owes about £6,000. The first man owes about £60,000. Don't know how much you've got in the bank. Apparently, average UK savings, £16,000. Average UK debt, £65,000. Imagine the debt collectors come to your door and they say, we need £60,000 right now. And actually, maybe there's some of us that is not unfamiliar. It's horrible, isn't it? The fear, the weight of it. You wake up in the night and it's there. You go to work in the morning and it's there. The bills land on the doormat. Are they going to come round today? And neither the first man nor the second man has any way to pay. Thousands and tens of thousands of pounds. They cannot work enough to earn it. They cannot sell anything to raise it. They're not going to be given it. They're not going to inherit it. They have no way they can pay. And they're going to be imprisoned or sold into slavery to pay this debt. And their life is utterly in the hands of the man who lent them this money. But did you see? Did you see what happened? The moneylender cancels, forgives the debt, and they are free to go. Imagine Halifax rings you up and they say, don't worry about the mortgage. It's done. Imagine NatWest get in touch and say, you know that loan that you took out? You know, the one like an anchor every month is cancelled. You're free. If any of those red letters land on your doormat, just chuck them away. Imagine. And those two men are overjoyed that the burden of debt is cancelled. And Simon's right, isn't he? There is one with a greater debt. There is one more overjoyed. But neither of them had any way to pay. Both of them needed to be forgiven. Both of them would end up in slavery. And now do you see why he's told the story? That this unnamed woman adores Jesus because of how much she's been forgiven. She's a sinner. She knows she's a sinner. Everybody knows that. And she knows that she's done wrong to other people and to God that she cannot repay. And Jesus is the one who can forgive. She knows she needs forgiveness. Everyone else knows that too. And Jesus is the one who can forgive. Maybe this kind of idea of sin as debt to God is new to you. Actually, the Bible is really clear that each and every one of us owes a debt to God that we cannot repay. Not unfairly, but rightly. And the Bible talks about sin, about rejecting God in loads of different ways, but the idea here is a debt that the Bible teaches that God made each and every one of us. That God made a glorious world for each of us to live in. That God gave us a duty to love him and serve him, the God who'd made us, and to love and serve others with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. And we don't want to do that. And each time we love ourselves with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength. Each time we love ourselves more than God and other people, we increase that debt of failed obedience. That we owe God everything and give him almost nothing. That is the picture the Bible calls sin. Rejecting what is right and good and loving ourselves. You remember the muted video? That's what he's talking about. That we owe God everything. And Grace talked about that in her testimony too, didn't she? That sense of the world being dark without God, without living the way God made us. And building up more and more debt to God. And the Bible says that debt must be paid. Now that might seem strange, but imagine if God did not care. Imagine if God did not care about murder. Imagine if God did not care about sexual violence or hatred or anger or selfishness. Imagine if God did not care about the truth. Imagine if God did not care when lives were ruined. The Bible teaches us God cares so much about selfishness and injustice. And he demands a payment for what we've not rightly given him. That he is angry at his world being messed up by ourselves. And I think this woman knew that. That her sin made her feel so dirty and ashamed. And ashamed of the things that she had done that she could not undo, that she could not delete. The video. And she knew what it was to be despised. And she longed for a release. And maybe that's you. That you, as you think about what you've done, you feel guilty and ashamed. And you long for a release. Jesus is here to forgive. Jesus is here to forgive. But maybe that's not you. Maybe this language of God and sin and that just feels weird. And you're a good person, you're okay. And maybe you are compared to this woman. But the Bible tells us God's standard is perfection. That God requires rightly that we have never told a lie. That we have never hated anybody. that we have never wanted wrongly something that someone else had that wasn't ours, never got angry in our hearts? Can we honestly say that we've been perfect? I can't. I have run up a debt with God that I cannot repay. And that is why there is this great contrast between the woman and Simon. That the woman knew that she'd failed. That the woman knew how much Jesus could forgive. And that was why she loved him so much. Because a mountain of debt could be forgiven. I don't think Simon saw that. Simon thought he was fine. I don't need him. I don't love him. Jesus is not necessary to me. Do you remember the story? How many debtors in the story? Two. Jesus is saying, Simon, you too have a debt. And only I can pay it. That Simon's big problem wasn't that he didn't welcome Jesus, or that he was a lousy host and didn't shut the doors. Simon's problem was that he thought he was a goodie and the woman was a baddie. And Jesus says, no, there are two debtors in the story. So as you imagine the story, where are you? Are you happy to admit that you need Jesus? Or are you, well, self-righteous Simon? I'm not as bad as him. I'm not as bad as her. No, we all have a debt that we cannot repay. And we need Jesus. Do you remember the question in verse 49? Who is this who even forgives sins? That the Bible says Jesus wasn't just a good teacher or a great leader or a prophet. That he was the Son of God, the Savior. The only one who ever lived a perfect life. The only one who ever met God's standards. Who took our debt upon himself. That he was killed. That he was put to death to pay what we could not pay. To offer us a forgiveness that we could not earn. And to be a Christian is to place that unpayable debt upon him. And have him pay it for us. To come to him in faith that he will forgive. And that we will find joy in that. Set us free from an impossible debt and to pay a punishment that we deserve to be embarrassingly excited about. Well, what if all this is new? What if you're not sure what to make of it? Well, if there is even the slightest chance that this is true, you must find out more. It is more serious than life and death to find out if what he says is true. Talk to me. Talk to one of the members of this church. Find your Christian friend. Take one of these really helpful books. Find out more. But maybe that's not you. Maybe you've heard about this Jesus before. And you know in your hearts that he speaks the truth. And the Bible says, come. The Bible says, come to him. You might feel embarrassed. You might feel self-conscious. The woman does not care in the slightest, because she loves him, to come and repent and accept his forgiveness, because she loves him. For sure it will be costly. Jars of perfume were worth a fortune, but this woman didn't grudge him a penny because she loved him, because of his forgiveness that is available to each and every one of us right now.